Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. We are in
fabulous Crouch End.
Fabulous Cruchons in a very echoey kitchen, my manager's kitchen. So,
Jesse,
and there is a kettle boiling and it's all go.
But Jesse, you like a bit of reverb.
Reverb, I do like reverb, it's true. And sorry, my son is banging the table because he's just learned how that he has an arm. It's all go. We have Richard Curtis, who is a screenwriter, producer.
Some of the best British comedy films ever.
Absolutely.
Notting Hill.
Four Weddings and a Funeral. Love Actually.
Love Actually, one of my favourites.
And he's also the co-founder of Comic Relief.
Who was the other one?
Lenny Henry. He's a legend.
Yeah, in British cinema.
And very excited to have his partner, Emma Freud.
She used to be on the radio.
I heard her on Giovanna Fletcher's Happy Mum.
Oh, yes. And
podcast. And she was just like, I just thought we'd get on. So the reason we have been able to bag Richard Curtis is because Comic Relief auctioned us off, the podcast off, for two... Well, actually, it was a lottery.
Two ladies at the synagogue put £10 in.
Oh, that's sweet. And so it was 10 quid lottery, see who wins. And a lovely lady called Gillian, who we are yet to meet, has won. And she's brought her husband along. So this is going to be... I'm really glad that you're feeling your best.
I hope I'm funny.
And I'm not eating the bloody food.
You're not eating and I feel woozy.
Brilliant. On the menu tonight, which I won't be eating, and I'm really sad about. It's my absolute favourite. We have done it for Zachary Quinto. So it is the Marbella chicken that will be in the book because it's just
a winner.
It's just a winner. Doing it with pesto rice and a green salad. Can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong.
Easy, bish, bash, bosh. Marinade overnight. Did it this morning. Sorry, Richard. I'm sure it's still going to have loads of flavour. And then for pudding, you've done a really pretty roulade.
Lemon curd.
Did you do edible flowers on the top?
Yeah, rose petals. I had them in a little thing.
Darling.
Do you think they look all right? They looked a bit funny though, maybe.
I thought they looked nice. Okay. I don't like the taste of rose in food, but I'm sure everyone else will.
I don't think you'll taste it.
So is it... Mum, that should go in the book.
With rose petals?
Yeah. Bougie.
Okay.
How are you feeling about our book, Mum?
I'm feeling pretty good. I think my recipes have gone very well.
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say that the comments I get are positively affirmative.
Okay. Yeah, and then I edit it all. Yeah, no.
Darling, I did write a few bits today about the beef stufado.
Yeah.
Having just come back from Greece, I've changed me meatballs in ouzo.
My meatballs in ouzo?
My meatballs in ouzo are now flambéed. Much more ouzo-y and flambéed.
No, it's coming together nicely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he agrees. And due to that, I feel disgusting. And so I stupidly, baby brain meant that I put myself in for a detox this week. So I'm day four into my detox. So I won't be having the food tonight.
Your mood's pretty good for a detox.
Because, Mum, it's day four. You start feeling great by day four.
Oh, what
were
you like
yesterday? The headaches have subsided and I'm basically virtuous now. But I will be eating out of a paper container, and it's not my favorite dish that we always have.
What do you mean it's not? It is your favorite.
Well,
dish.
No, I know. I'm not going to be eating your dish.
Eat it. Okay,
Marbella chicken.
I know
it's the best, and it's already smelling delicious from the oven. And I'm really upset about this. And then for pudding, I've saved my snack that I was supposed to have in the afternoon for pud, which is apple and almond butter. But no, thank you to Rosemary Ferguson, who is wonderful, and this five-day plan has been actually really delicious. I just feel incredibly embarrassed that I feel it's rather antisocial. You're being very quiet about this. You usually have a real opinion about this.
I've got a very bad back, so I've taken lots of painkillers.
And you're feeling a bit...
Woozy would be the
Are you going to be able to fire the questions?
I don't know whether my mouth's going to move very much.
Brilliant. Great. Well, Richard Curtis is coming up on Table Manners.
You try a slip disc, darling.
You try a five-day detox, Mum.
Yeah, okay, darling. You're worse than me.
Brilliant. Richard Curtis coming up on Table Manners. So, we have the competition winners. I don't know. It's not even a competition.
It's
you
not
paid
a competition.
Money. You paid
money.
You are a charity. You are brilliant people that put money into a lottery for Comic Relief. And you put your tenner in, I think. Was it a ten? Was it? I don't know. Well, I love. Oh my God. Well, anyway, you put your money in to come
it,
to this and to listen to this. And to join us, and you've absolutely assassinated us with the fact that you are married.
Yeah. Married.
Yeah. Married to the owner and head chef of Trullo in Islington, one of my favourite restaurants that does the best beef shin pasta. And he's only brought a present, and it's the beef shin pasta. So thanks so much.
Jesse, you were definitely having that.
Well, I wish you told us. We wouldn't have fucking cooked. You could have cooked.
No,
you could have made this a Trullo special.
No, we've got a tasting menu.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, can I just explain something? And I want to apologise right now. I've cocked up baby brain and the fact that we've been recipe testing. So I've been eating, like, puff pastry, and then we're doing Christmas tarts in the morning, like, on blazing bank holidays. Anyway, I was like, I feel awful. My back is in ruins. Kindly, Rosemary Ferguson said, do you want to do a little detox? I was like, yeah, sure. Said yes to it. Realised then that this is this week. So I'm, like, on this particular meal plan, which is so antisocial. Mum's like, people are going to think you're really weird, and
you are
it's
weird.
Annoying.
Break
and it's
it.
Break it.
No, but I've gone
break
three.
It's not like it's not
Jesse.
It's not.
Life's too short.
Yeah.
You might get knocked
but
over,
I'm gonna
and
look
you'll
like
never.
Kate Moss tomorrow.
But if you, no, you won't.
No, I won't. Fuck it, I'm going to have a bit of Asian.
Yeah.
Shit. We are here doing this special Comic Relief episode with Richard Curtis. And I'd like to think that, Emma, you are going to join in on this. If you can pull yourself away from my child.
I'm slightly busy, snuggly.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, I'm really happy because I had the bottle ready for my son to shove it in. And Emma's kindly done something to him, and he's caressing you. He's got his hand on your chest. And he's really happy.
I know.
And you're happy, so that's great.
He's my fifth child.
Fine, have him, because he's been really cranky for the last 2 days. And then we have, not the competition winners, because that's weird to say.
People who
you
bid
are
money.
The people that bid money for a worthy cause. And please introduce yourself to the listeners.
Okay, I'm Jill.
What's your name? Where'd you come from?
Jill, we're from Northern Ireland, but we live in Walthamstow.
Ah,
yes.
Interesting. And who is right next to you?
I'm Connor. I'm from Belfast. I also live in Walthamstow.
Why did you bid? Just because you wanted to see?
Yeah, well, Comic Relief is well
known.
It's
a great cause.
Love the podcast. I think I heard it on the podcast, you saying
okay,
that we could
great.
Do it. And then just put
did
some
anybody
money in.
Else bid?
We want to know.
I know, because I never win anything.
Yeah.
So I was like,
we
I want to
know how much did if anyone else bid.
No, so it wasn't a bid. It was a draw, so everyone paid 10 quid and all the names went into
lottery.
A hat. Yeah, lottery.
Yeah.
And then Jill won. But with the amount of people that wanted to come and sit in this kitchen today, we have raised enough money at Comic Relief to build a school in
Shut
an African
up.
Nation.
That's incredible.
Crikey.
Well, thank you so much to everyone that
thank
bid.
You.
No, that put money in. Thank you so, so much. That's incredible.
Well, I'm feeling bad now.
Why?
I didn't bid. I'm feeling bad.
You got the gig anyway.
Could have been.
Oh, he's sad about that
it was the
too.
Mention, it was the mention of school.
He's so
thinking
angry.
About, I don't want to go to school.
I don't know if the chicken's done. I'm actually
Do you think
I'm
I
really unsure because I accidentally had it on too high at the beginning. So
the rice is done. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, shit. Is it ruined?
Okay,
fine. Good thing we've got your pasta.
Can I say, Jesse, well. Just generally on the subject of subjects, if I could keep one thing in the world, it would be rice.
Oh, okay. Let's get into it, Richard. I love it.
Obsessed by rice. And I think it was because I was raised in the Philippines when I was little. We moved there when I was three until seven. So we never had potatoes and we never had milk. You know, we had rice and mangoes. And for me now, I could eat rice
all the time.
All the time. And probably, you know, I'd be happy with risotto, but then I'd also be happy with rice with a bit of onion in it, and then I'd just be happy with rice and butter, and then I'd just be happy with rice.
I completely agree with you, and I don't want to say this to the Trullo head chef owner, but I love pasta. I feel like pasta has got this kind of guilt around it that rice doesn't. Yeah. It does. But I love rice. I think it is very versatile, and it is far more satisfying to me than a potato. I'm
cold,
completely with you.
Hot, in puddings. Show me a potato pudding. Are there any?
No.
No.
You're so right. Yeah.
Well, there's potato kugel. That's a pudding.
Yeah, but that's not sweet.
No, it's not sweet.
It's not as versatile as rice. Right, Richard.
So, it's going very well because chickens and rice are my favourite thing.
Well, it's going to be a pesto rice. I mean, I'm very embarrassed. It's, anyway, it is what it is. It's going to be delicious.
Yeah.
You have kindly done this. And we are so happy
I'm
to have you.
So delighted. It's the best bit of my day. And I'm now starting to think my year.
We're
your
so
voice
excited.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, you should have a podcast.
Oh, God.
Or voiceovers.
It's fruity.
Maybe I can just do like intros for your podcast.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, now episode 532.
That's working. Thank you. We've got that. Yeah. Perfect.
You just have to do another 500.
So thank you for coming and thank you for joining us and making, you know, we're so touched to have been involved in making a little bit of money for Comic Relief. And I just wanted to...
Thank you, by the way. It's the other way around.
Please. It's absolute pleasure. So you were born in New Zealand.
Born in New Zealand, yeah. Sort of by chance. My parents are both Australian.
Okay.
And my dad had just moved to do a job in New Zealand.
So what did he do?
He worked for Unilever.
Right.
I always hoped he was a spy because we moved around the world and I thought it was a cover.
He might have been.
It wasn't a cover.
No.
No. We ended up in Warrington for 14
Warrington,
years.
Warrington,
Oh, no, I loved Warrington, actually.
Did you?
But all I'm saying is, he worked for Unilever. Yeah.
Which football team do you support, then?
I now support Tottenham Hotspur.
Oh, mate.
Bad.
Is it?
Bad Saturday.
I'm sad for them. Yeah. For my husband's birth.
Yeah. Well, this was, Well, what happened is I didn't have many opinions. And then my children were groomed by a man called Simon, who told them how great Spurs were. And so they're now just completely passionate fans. Yeah. And I go along with it. I can name the team very oddly.
So do you go?
Yeah.
Do you eat the food? What's the food like? Have you been to the new stadium?
Oh, well, I've been to the new stadium, but I haven't eaten any food there.
I bet they're doing quite good food.
Oh, I hope so. I mean, there's nothing I love more than a hot dog. Imagine a hot dog. What I love is frankfurters and rice.
Oh.
That is so... Oh, basically anything and rice is what I want. But frankfurters and rice. I once lived on my own in the country for 7 years. And I don't know why.
What?
And
where
I used
were
to
you?
Shop.
Where?
It was in Oxfordshire. I think it was so I could get more work done. And I used to shop once every fortnight. And slowly I'd eat all the food. And I'd just in the end be left with rice.
Which was fine.
With butter and salt for the last 3 days. Wow. And then I'd go back to Sainsbury's.
Did it make your writing better?
Well, the thing about living entirely on your own is when you're an ill-disciplined younger writer.
Yeah.
Is that because what used to be the problem in London is I'd get up at 11, I'd try and work out what to do. I'd have lunch, I'd work for a couple of hours, and then friends would start ringing you and saying, do you want to go out?
Mm.
And I would sort of not go out and I'd feel guilty and horrible. So I thought, why don't I just go somewhere where I can watch television for like 7 or 8 hours and still do a full working day.
So do you watch a lot of TV?
So I wrote Blackadder out there. So I wrote a lot of TV. I wrote a lot of TV, but I also watched... A lot of TV,
Do you still watch a lot of TV?
I do love TV,
Can we talk about Love Island? Because when you came in, you said that our wonderful producer-editor, Alice, looks like Lucy.
She looks a bit like Lucy. God, I hope Lucy lasts all 9 weeks. I mean, I'm just terrified because it's such a complex algorithm that if things can go wrong.
They are puppeteers. They know exactly what's going on.
No, I just... You know, the thing is, as someone who has written about sort of romance and love...
Mm.
what is so amazing, I remember it about the original Big Brothers and I feel about Love Island, is to actually see it happening.
Yes. You think it really is love?
Well, certainly what's just happened in the last couple of days.
Joe and Lucy.
Joe's definitely fallen in love with Lucy.
He keeps licking his lips every time he's with her. Bless him, he's like that.
But then, on the other hand, the moment that Tommy comes in and she has to go with him, then the dark side of Joe appears and you're actually watching real emotions. And I spend all my life trying to sort of get actors to act these things as convincingly as they can. Suddenly it's happening right in front of you and you can watch it happening. I do find it intriguing.
So you really love Love Island?
I think it's
incredible. Yeah, I mean, I can't believe it's happening.
I've never watched it.
Because of the
it.
Shape of their bodies because of the sort of implicit misogyny and also to just see how the guys behave and all that. So it's very complex now, but it is the greatest television program of all time. I'm afraid.
But it has got that thing that it had when Big Brother, those first few series, where you were just like glued. You wouldn't go to bed without missing. You wouldn't go to bed with missing. I can't fucking speak because I'm on this fucking detox. Please forgive me.
You won't be. You'll be feeling much better once you've had that. Once you've got some pappardelle down you, you'll be fine.
But I love Love Island. I got into it two seasons ago and I even got my I didn't even have to get my husband. Do you watch it? You too?
I haven't watched it this year. I usually come to it towards the end.
Now you've got to get stuck in.
I know, maybe all my friends do. But I remember 2 years ago when I just had my first baby.
Yeah.
It was my thing. 9 p.m. He was in bed. I could watch it.
Was that Montana? Who was it?
Yes. Yeah, Montana.
Oh yeah, Montana.
God, you know them all.
Did you like? You name it by your favorite girl.
I went to the premiere of Mamma Mia, which I'd worked on. And it was psychologically interesting because Meryl Streep was there, Pierce Brosnan was there, Lily James was there, but Montana was there. That was all I cared about. I thought, bloody hell, that's Montana. Get out of the way, Meryl. Get out of the way, Stellan. Get out of the way, Colin.
Because you love Montana. Yeah.
Did you work on both Mamma Mia's?
No, only the second one.
Ah, interesting. Well, boring story. Mamma Mia is the island. It was filmed in the island that we go to every year.
I love that movie. Yeah. I saw that movie, the first one, on a rainy day in Cromer in Norfolk, which is what Mamma Mia is for. Life's not going as you expect. You go on a summer holiday. It's pouring with rain. What they've called a luxury campsite turns out to be a campsite. And you think, what are we going to do now from 9 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night? And the answer is go and see Mamma Mia at one.
And that's the best
just
showing.
Made us so
pick
happy.
A mix. Yeah. Lovely.
Hot dog.
Hot dog. do you get the hot dogs from the cinemas?
Yeah, I love them.
I do too.
I mean, who knows what's in them?
Who cares?
Yeah.
Connor's making the beef shin and the pasta. I mean, it's so professional, it puts us to shame, but it's fantastic, and we're having it as a preemie. Literally, we've had our kitchen.
This is amazing.
Even our kitchen. So this is kind of a play within a play within a play. Okay, so apart from rice and frankfurters.
Yeah.
Well, let's just go there. Desert Island Meal.
Well.
They're going to be on there, both of those, or not?
Yeah, oh no, not the Frankfurt.
Okay, fine.
I don't think.
Okay.
I live with Emma Freud here, and when her dad was a famous chef.
Yeah.
And when we started going out with each other, I think Em just assumed that she was a great cook, and she was a moderate cook.
Poor.
But Em is now the most wonderful cook. She sort of taught herself how to do it. She's just unbelievable.
So what's your dish? Like, what's your go-to? Because mine's the Barbeya chicken, which may not come out that great that we're having tonight.
That
what's your go-to
to
dish?
Out, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to dry that out. Connor, we just check on the chicken, please. Thanks, mate.
Just take it out.
What's your go-to dish?
She's gone very Lebanese recently. The one I'm going to say is you used to do a marvellous chicken in a sort of creamy coriander sauce, do you remember? With
you made that up.
Cream
amazing,
coriander.
Amazing oven roasted vegetables with lots of olive oil and rosemary.
He's your biggest fan.
Yeah.
Come on, tell me what your favourite one that you think is like your piece de resistance.
Look, this man is going to be easy to please. Frankfurters and rice, anything.
That's the starting point. Yeah.
I'm very keen on a slow roasted
anything, really. And slow-roasted lamb shoulder, bit of maple syrup, quite a lot of white wine in there, bit of meat.
This sounds very Nigella, actually.
And so Gizzy Erskine's got a great slow... Have you got Gizzy's book?
No, I've got
it's
an old one.
Slow.
Oh, yes! That'll be right up my street.
Right up the street.
I love anything smoked. I love a Jamie Oliver Asian salmon, marinate it in lemongrass and soy and a bit of mirin and chili and lime leaves, and then you grill it for 10 minutes, even a huge great big side, 10 minutes under the grill, and that's it. And you serve it room temperature. It's gorgeous. Bit of quinoa. Nice. Bit of
And the salmon's
kale.
Very good with rice. And then
rice and frankfurter.
And then you do a lovely Thai curry, don't you, with rice.
Good at that.
And then you do... the problem with the roast chicken is it tends to be with potatoes. But then you do...
I'm good at pavlova.
Oh.
I didn't used to be, but Richard's mother, who's Australian... She basically
She was the queen. Yeah.
And she was the queen of pavlova, and she taught me.
Why? Australians...
They invented it.
So there was this ballet dancer, and she came and danced in Sydney, and they had a national challenge to come up with a dish that would in some way celebrate and represent her.
Light and sweet.
And someone invented that. Just like coronation chicken, you know, was a competition, and they
invented that. I didn't know that was a competition.
Yeah, for the queen's for the coronation, so that everyone could eat it in outside on those open tables when the queen was crowned.
Oh my God, I'd love for somebody to create something.
Yeah, it's a lovely idea.
The Jesse. Yeah. I'm going to make a Jesse.
Thank you. Please make a Jesse.
Come back to you.
I feel like my Polish fans would be up for that. I don't know. Thank you for two bits of trivia. You've got really good trivia.
By the way, the only other thing that I would add on my favourite things is also, I'm slightly obsessive about truffle.
Oh, do you like truffle?
Yeah, so that makes going to a restaurant very easy, because if ever you see, you know the way you have magic words, like crispy's one of mine, mustard's one of mine, and truffle's one, and then you don't have to the horror of making up your own mind, because you just order the things according to
that restaurant that we went to in Santa Monica that has truffle pasta.
It's the Italian. It's the like one that everyone goes to and gets photographed.
You must have been.
Well, I don't know, but I do love a truffle pasta, even though I'm I've put on a bit of weight recently. I mean, in the last 10 years, I'm not eating as much pasta as I used to.
Well, it looks like you are.
Oh, that's so mean. I think he looks sylph-like.
Thank you very much.
We had Noomi Rapace on, who's the Swedish actress, and she said that she carries truffle salt with her everywhere.
Does she?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm
going to
cry.
My son's taking the bottle now.
Emma's in a slightly over-emotional state because we've had four kittens
I know
in the house, and I think the last one's gone today, is that right?
Yeah. Oh, it's gone.
So yeah, the lemon cardboard, the fourth kitten, this my son names the kittens
lemon
lemon cardboard.
Oh wow.
I think is left today.
Oh, I'm
so
sorry.
Em needs
free. Really glad that
you've
got
keep one back.
We've already got four.
How many animals do you have?
We have a lot of animals. I had four children, and then they grew up, so I got animals. So we've got cats and a dog and a tortoise, and there were rabbits on our balcony. And
I'm imagining, like, Emma opening the windows and being like, is it in Sleeping Beauty? No, it's not. Is it Sleeping Beauty? And all the animals, the Bambis, and they're all listening. Yeah. They're running up to you. That's how I'm imagining
it, like
opening the
you
window.
You come downstairs, squirrels. And they place themselves, like, do you remember that scene in Sound of Music where the Von Trapp kids were on each stair?
Yes.
It's like that, and Posey the dog and Catsby.
Oh, sorry, you want some more milk, sorry. We have
an animal on every stair, and then sad old Larry the tortoise.
Larry the tortoise
is at the very bottom because Larry can't get up a stair.
Oh my God, bless him! What's it like having a tortoise? Is it
boring? Boring.
Boring.
You know, I mean, I've searched high and low for any signs of character in Larry. and there's precious little to show for 10 years.
Work. Really?
Do you put him in a box in the winter and he just hibernates?
In the freezer you can put them in.
No.
What?
In the freezer. No, the fridge. In the fridge.
In the fridge.
We did that once.
Sorry,
it didn't work very well.
Okay. Sorry, not the
freezer. This is a podcast not about murder.
No, sorry, I got it wrong. There were no tortoises put in freezers, I promise.
Cryogenic tortoises.
No, but the fridge is a thing.
Yeah, it is. It didn't work well for us.
So when you say it didn't work well, was like Larry just like, Cooey, I'm still here, I want to get out.
Well, if I said it was Gary then.
Oh, God. Okay.
Oh, shit, really?
Jesse, oh, don't you say things like that. People will copy and put them in the fridge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I am not...
We had but the thing about Gary was we found out after about 7 years that Gary was in fact a woman. And Spike, our son, is a genius.
How do you find that out?
We went to a vet, I think.
Oh, okay. Right, okay.
And Spike immediately changed Gary's name to Barbara, which I think is a great name for a
Did you did you do something with SEO Trot?
Yeah. Did a TV
because you love having a tortoise so much.
Well, it was in a way, I suppose I had. I'd got used to it. It was really hilarious because we did have hundreds of real tortoises. And Dustin Hoffman had to, you know, coexist with them for week after week. And they're messy.
Oh,
they don't.
Really?
They wouldn't know a toilet if it got up and gave them a hug.
So who's your favourite animal that you've actually... I mean, you've
oh,
got
Oh, I
a
love
lot.
The animals now. I mean, I love oh, them, but okay. I just... So I love them specifically, but not...
No dogs?
Not generally. Yeah, we've got little Posy, the dog.
Shit, so you've got dogs, cats, tortoises and rabbits?
Yeah. I'm pushing for goats now.
Yeah, and
Why
baby
chickens?
Donkeys.
Chickens?
Also, I would like to get a house dwarf pony.
A house? What, it lives in the house?
Yeah, they're, it's a thing. House dwarf pony.
Do you live? Have you got a big house? I'm presuming that all
not big enough for horses.
Yeah, right.
No, let's be
you
honest.
You got a big garden,
but it's the word dwarf. They're tiny.
But like, how tiny? Like as tiny as my son?
I don't know. I think it might have been a Photoshop, to be honest. But I was excited.
I've seen the miniature for the mini pigs. They're like what are they micro. What are they called the pigs? That
micro
are
pigs.
Micro pigs.
Turns out there are no such thing as a micro pig. They're just piglets, and they call them micro
oh,
pigs.
Kidding,
and then
yeah.
you get them, and then they become pigs.
What did Mel B have?
She had fainting goats.
Fainting
no
goats.
Way.
Yeah.
What?
Scary
fainting
Spice had fainting goats.
Goats.
And I said, well, what happens? She went, they faint. So
you
I was
go
like, that's
like
really
this,
sadistic.
Boo, and they fall over and faint. And she painted them in chakra colours, didn't she?
Yeah, like tie-dyed them.
Yeah, tie-dyed them.
Yeah.
She's nuts. So, wait a second. Yeah. Can I ask you a question? Just yes. It occurs to me, because I mentioned the word Barbara, and therefore I thought about Barbara Streisand.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to go to Hyde Park?
I'm very tempted. I really yeah. love
Celine like Dion on one day and Barbara on the next.
Because I saw Barbara about 15 years ago. And her voice was so extraordinary.
It's the
and
best.
I remember thinking that when the instrument, you know, normally someone sings and then a clarinet comes in and you think how extraordinarily pure the clarinet is. But she would start singing, the clarinet would join, and you'd think that's rough. Take the clarinet out because her voice is
so. It's so wonderful.
She can do exquisite. Things with her voice that nobody can do. So can Celine Dion, to be fair. It's like the best weekend ever.
I was going to ask you your top three. Or four, maybe
voices.
Five female singers. Yeah, just
voices,
to get a sense of it.
Billie Holiday.
Thank you. Yeah.
Sade, Whitney Houston, Barbara Streisand.
Bloody hell, this is a good list.
Flip, who should the last one be? I'll get back to you on that one.
Okay.
Female voice.
Did you say
I'm throwing Joni Mitchell
Whitney.
At you, but...
Joni's great. Sorry,
yeah,
Joni
but not
is great.
Kate Bush, you're not...
Oh, Kate Bush. Let's go there. Kate Bush
okay.
is the five and five, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's right. yours?
Yeah, go on, yours.
Well, you know, it's the thing is, I couldn't get a girlfriend. I mean, for love nor money, and so I do feel that in my
right.
that from 13 to 23, I was in the hands of these extraordinary singers. They were my emotional education. They were the women who I
so
loved, and so
love
that was
you?
Kate Bush, Joan Armatrading, Chrissy Hynde, Linda Ronstadt. Joni Mitchell.
I don't know Linda Ronstadt.
Do you know Linda Ronstadt?
Sorry.
Oh, she's amazing. She was sort of, when the Eagles were huge, the Eagles learned a lot of what they learned from Linda Ronstadt. She was just a incredibly pretty, but rather wonderful
singer.
Country
Ooh.
And Western singer, yeah. Or sort of East Coast
oh, I'm
singer.
Listen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She did a lovely, she did some great covers. So she did a brilliant version, she did the original version of Desperado, which the Eagles then did. So yeah, she was wonderful.
Probably
but I'd really, I depended on them.
How did you two meet?
I can tell this bit. I interviewed him when I was at GLR, Greater London Radio for the BBC, doing their morning show, and Richard was just producing the first ever Comic Relief. And I did a 3-minute interview down the phone line with him, just, oh, so tonight on the BBC's brand new charity event called Comic Relief, and this is the producer, and he's called Richard Curtis, and what have you got on the show tonight? Just that. And then at the end of that phone, of that little interview, sort of knew.
You knew?
It was Love Actually.
So you're just as big a romantic as Richard.
Took me ages. Oh, it took me years, honestly.
What, to fall in love with her?
Emma asked me to marry her at one point, and I asked, can I have a year just to think
you
it
didn't.
Over?
You didn't.
And then at
teasing.
The end I said, yeah, meh.
I don't think.
Did you get married?
No.
Are you
Why,
not
you don't
married?
Want to, you don't believe in it?
No, it's not that I don't believe it. It's the most, it's, you know, we've never got to the bottom. I think the answer really was, I can say this in to your mum, that I think the wedding my mum would have wanted is not a wedding I would have wanted, because there would have been an enormous number of her friends at it. And consequently, in a way, it was easier not to get married, because it didn't seem to be making much difference in terms of children.
Right, fair enough. I'm really sorry. Connor's outside with a wok doing something to the pasta. Oh, this is... is it a colander or a wok? I don't know, but this is hysterical. I want table manners to be like this. Every week, we have someone cooking.
Guest chef.
Thank you so much.
So that's the celebrity. It's the celebrity. That's what always happens.
This works.
You get a celebrity chef.
Let's go. Wow.
This is fantastic.
Oh, so
wow, thank you.
Thank you.
This is so delicious.
It is so gorgeous. Did you make the pasta as well?
Yes.
Did you?
So what does a Belfast boy, how did you learn to make such good Italian?
Once you learn how to cook, you can apply it to any discipline, really, once you get the basics. If you...
Oh no, sorry, Connor's just made us dinner and now is holding my baby. But my baby's really happy, just gave... He just gave a really big smile. Did that rival your smile that you got, Emma? I don't know.
I think mine was bigger.
I'll give you that one.
You're really into your music, aren't you?
I am. One of the things I love most is that I've not done the thing I most love. So I haven't had to exercise any critical ability. I mean, you must think, do I like this? Do I not like that? What style do I feel strongest about? Whereas I just love...
It becomes love-hate sometimes, yeah.
Whereas I love everything to do with music and I just consider it... You know, that's why, you know, I did a movie about pirate radio and doing a movie now about the Beatles.
So when is Yesterday coming out?
2 weeks.
Oh, really? Oh, so when are we...
Starring Ed Sheeran playing the part of
Ed Sheeran. He's good at that.
But in a way, the movie's about Ed, because it's sort of... it's about a very unsuccessful singer-songwriter from Suffolk who then becomes the biggest star in the world because he's the only person who can remember the Beatles music. But in the end, he has to sort of, in a way, choose between the music and the love of a girl who's... he's always loved. And so he went all the way around the world. The world was his oyster. But in the end, he comes back and he's in love with a girl he was at school with. And that's the sort of thesis, anyway, of the film. Ed's very funny. And he worked very hard at it. He said, I want to learn more about acting.
Oh.
And Danny
Jesus
Boyle taught
Christ.
Him some stuff about acting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Danny's big note was listen. He said, it's really hard. And it's absolutely true. If you've got your line and you're just waiting... to say your line, you're going to say it badly and artificially. But if you think of, if you're really focusing on what the other person says to you, then your line will just become a kind of natural follow-on to what they've just said. So Ed's brilliant in it. I mean, and he looks funny because he's got all that, he's got that funny face.
Yeah, he's got and a sweet
the funny
face,
hair.
Yeah. He takes things, he does work. He's amazing. I love him very, very much. And Cherry is brilliant.
Well, he's been, by the way, because we are in the context of Comic Relief, he has been absolutely brilliant for us as well. And the little documentary he did this year, which was about homelessness, I think made the most money or the second most money on the night. First time, actually, very interesting this year, first time that the UK documentaries have actually made more money than the ones from abroad. But then he travelled abroad, didn't he, to...
I remember seeing that film.
Was it Tanzania?
Yeah, no, with the boys.
Liberia.
To Liberia with the boys.
And he wanted to kind of help them. And he was frustrated. Yeah,
marvelous and so open-hearted, and he's been great. And I remember I was like in real trouble. We were one song short the first time we did Red Nose Day in America. And Ed happened to be in town and he charged in and sung a duet with Kermit.
He did the Rainbow Connection. Yeah, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
Are people more interested in supporting home projects now than things abroad?
Well, it's a very interesting thing. Basically, until now, it's always been a bit head and heart. You know, what happens is people, with their hearts, when they watch the documentaries on the night, they're so moved by the intensity of the problems that they see abroad. That's what they actually give money to. But they wouldn't feel as comfortable giving money abroad if they didn't know that stuff was being spent here as well. You know, because you really, charity does begin at home and is incredibly important elsewhere, and people want to know that both is true. But this year, interestingly, and whether or not it is a sort of sociological shift or just two really strong films, Ed did a great film about the number of people who die on British streets as home, from homelessness. And Olivia Colman did a beautiful film about refugees, just saying Britain was so amazing with the kinder transport and the war. And what's the difference now with completely innocent children coming in from Syria? Why would we not open our arms to take care of them? And they were the ones that made the most, they were the ones made the most money on the night, yeah.
You don't have to talk about this, but, you know, obviously there was so much about the Stacey Dooley gate and the fact that David Lammy got involved, you know, commented. And do you feel like that maybe potentially took away from the...
I don't think it... I mean, one of the reasons we sort of didn't answer it is because you don't want to stoke up the controversy at a time when brilliant kids are doing really innocent things. Because it's actually a really interesting debate. And Em got particularly sort of interested and passionate about it because it does raise important issues. I mean, for me, it's very complex. We absolutely have to do the right thing. We have to be ahead of the curve. It's really important to represent positive things as well and to be really sensitive when you're talking about Africa that you're actually saying the right things. Mm. On the other hand, it's really important to realize that people often do identify with presenters who go there, and that in fact one of the ways of feeling empathy and compassion is to find someone who you love and are interested in that situation, so they sort of become you. And I'm nervous about giving that up completely. And also the harsh truth is that people will give money to sadder things until we crack the conundrum of making really optimistic films which are as good at fundraising. And the truth of the matter is the ball's now back in our court, and we should try and find magical ways of saying, look, the amazing things your money raises, do that, rather than saying, look at the terrible things that happen unless you raise money. So we're in the middle of a journey on that. And, you know, it's an issue well raised and something we've got to be much cannier about. But, you know, obviously it's slightly heartbreaking when it happens and you think you might be losing money. But in the end, I think in the interface of the night itself, nobody watched an extraordinary film about malaria or an extraordinary film about refugees and thought, I wonder whether or not I should give money because of that argument. Yeah, I don't think that happened.
David Lammy on next year.
He should go on a trip.
He's not a friend of Comic Relief, that's the thing.
Has he never been? Does he think it's a kind of sort of colonial?
Well, I think he believes, which is a very complicated argument, he actually believes that the negative impression of Africa is not worth the money that we make, whereas I actually don't think that's right, because we're, every grant that we give in Africa, we are, is asked for by a brilliant local leader doing a really important thing in their own community. So I think it's a very nuanced argument, and I feel I'm probably too much on our side and David's probably too much on the other side, and we will come to a, you know, brilliant conclusion somewhere in the middle.
The thing that it has done, though, is created a different kind of debate within Comic Relief, which is fantastic. Actually,
yeah, it can't be bad.
It's really good. It's really important. And all we're trying to do is the right thing. And when you have enough people coming to you and saying, I know you're trying to do the right thing, but in some ways it's more damaging than you understand, then the answer is not but listen to us. The answer is tell us. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people told us this time, and it was, I mean, for me, it felt like an education. I feel like I feel like we've completely moved the dial within Comic Relief on the way that we need to not only have diversity but also representation, which are two very different things, and inclusion, which is a third different thing. And, you know, we hadn't taken enough of that on board in the past, and things will change.
Back to food.
Yeah.
We didn't get onto your desert island meal.
Yeah.
I know rice is going to feature in that, but yeah. Like, let's go starter, main, pud.
Well, I don't know.
And a drink.
It's really tricky. This is like saying which
Jesse,
is your...
I don't feel so, that we've got to the evolution of how he gets there, because I don't know what sort of food you ate as a child.
That's well, all right, sorry. You, okay, I can tell
you
very...
I thought you meant how he gets to the desert island. Yeah.
I can tell you very, very quickly, because it is quite sweet. Basically... My mum was sort of hardcore Australian in the 1930s and 40s. So dinner was lamb chops.
Lucky.
My best.
So we basically had lamb chops 5 days a week.
With a slightly
different vegetable and a slightly different potato. And then exotic Friday, where you would either have fish and chips or like something really radical like pasta, like spaghetti bolognese, amazingly unusual. Sometimes chili con carne, and then on Sunday you'd have roast lamb. So
Sunday you were back to the lamb.
Back to the lamb, but it was
roasted.
Do you
like lamb still?
Yeah, I do, but it's got to be burnt.
Burnt?
Well, because my mum always...
Burnt the lamb.
Well, it was like well cooked.
But like well cooked so that it kind of falls apart, or is it like well cooked so it's tough as sole boots?
So it's just crispy. You know, so it's basically a lamb chop, which is a bit like sort of bacon. It's like cut it and it's crispy.
Wow.
So that was my upbringing was very lamb-based. I mean, never had fish. So it was very lamb-based.
Lamb-based.
So, okay, when you get to Sweden, you're not going to have lamb every day.
Well, we are.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The Swedes want us to eat fish. The Swedes want us to eat fish, but mum's having none of it.
So you weren't on Sprats?
No.
So you still had lamb every day?
I'm still very frightened of unusual fish.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've never had an octopus or a... Or a,
did you not ever had calamari?
Or no, never had a calamari. I mean, I'm ashamed.
Don't be ashamed.
But I think
I'm ashamed.
It was quite funny.
It's a two main course meal. Never been happier.
Oh, darling, look at it. That's like a dream.
So hang on, what's in this?
That's the very crispy chicken.
It's got a chicken. What else is in it? I think it needs a stir. It's got chicken.
I can see olives.
Olives.
I can see apricots.
And apricots. And it's marinated in olive oil and oregano.
The only is it called Marbella?
I haven't got a clue.
There's a famous line in that book, Heartburn.
I know.
The woman says that nothing that tastes good with capers doesn't taste better without capers. I'm sceptical of the caper, but only because of Nora Ephron.
Yeah, but you won't taste the capers. Really? It's a bit like putting anchovies in things. You don't really taste it. It's just the flavour.
So I just want to say this is the best
Marbella
chicken that I've ever had. It's a lesson in how to mix in a jar of pesto into some slightly overcooked rice. It really is.
Mate, I'm so sorry.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So, when you went to Sweden,
yeah,
you were still eating lamb chops. So it was still lamb 5 days a week.
Yeah,
no,
I
six
don't
days
think we were very affected by the Swedish thing.
Did you have good pastries?
Except you became very obsessed in Sweden by, you know, they're obsessed by new potatoes.
Oh.
In Sweden. It's the bigger, you know, in England, we the most successful tin vegetable is baked beans. There, they're so obsessed by new potatoes. It's new potatoes in brine with dill. But so, because they just didn't have them. It was their treat, you know, 9 months of winter, and then suddenly out come the new potatoes. So I love a new potato and dill. Mm. And then the thing I mainly remember was my dad was working for the equivalent of Wall's ice cream there, which was called Trollhätteglass. And sometimes they would give us hundreds and hundreds of ice creams that had failed in the marketplace. So I just remember...
Had a fridge full of
pineapple Mivvies.
Oh, Mivvies.
Yeah, and that was what Mivvies. I would...
Mivvies were ice lolly on the outside.
And ice cream on the inside. Oh, I love those. Like the strawberry ones. Mm. Oh, yeah, I love them.
And then I became obsessed by chocolate cake. And every day, my mum used to cook me chocolate cake. And then I realised what I really liked was chocolate mixture. So every day I would make...
The chocolate cake mixture.
And then my mum read somewhere that raw eggs aren't good for you. Yeah. So then I would make the chocolate cake mixture without the eggs, which was less nice, but still good. So it was mainly Mivvies and raw chocolate cake mixture in Sweden.
That sounds healthy.
Yeah.
And then where did you move? You went to Warrington.
And by the way, at this time I was at boarding school where the food was...
So
traumatizing.
Really?
Yeah, and the reason I think I can't eat exotic fish is that there used to be fish on a Friday. Every second Friday would be white sauce, and then the other Friday would be red sauce. Yeah. And you would smell it in the corridor as you queued, and they wouldn't let me leave the table till I'd finished it. So I would sit at the table for 3 hours. Because I wasn't allowed to leave the table, so I'd miss lessons and sport and just sit there in front of this coagulating white fish. And then after that, I had all those years of sort of boy food in your 20s, which is basically...
What, kebabs and...
Particularly, yeah, Greek restaurants, Chinese restaurants, Indian restaurants, Adin Manzel's, the Swallow House, and, you know, Mike's.
Where was this?
Well, in Camden, and first in Oxford and then in Camden. And we used to go out almost every night. Nobody could cook.
Do you live in Camden?
No, we live in Notting Hill.
I imagine you live where the door was.
That was our house.
Oh, that was your house.
It wasn't meant to be our house. It was our house, and then the location manager for Notting Hill went out to find the door they wanted for that, for those scenes, and came back and said, "I found it. I found this door."
It was your door.
I said, "Where's our house? What are you talking about?" And he went, "What's the perfect door? We're using that one."
Where do you like to eat in Notting Hill?
My house.
Okay.
More than anything ever.
Really? You don't like eating out?
No, I love eating out, but I love eating in my house even more.
There's a great place called The Shed.
Mm.
Oh, I don't know it.
Which we really like. It sort of feels like you're in a boat, doesn't it? And it's three brothers from, where are they from?
They're from Kent or somewhere. One brother is the farmer, and one brother is the chef, and the other brother is the front of house manager. And the mum does the foraging. It's lovely.
Where is it?
It's just sort of near Notting Hill Tube.
The other thing that was huge in my 20s were pizzas, which were really only just arriving. And I remember they used to do that thing in Time Out where they said, pick your 5 favourite restaurants in London. I just picked 5 Pizza Expresses. Yeah, I said Pizza Express, Soho, Pizza Express, Bayswater Road, Pizza Express.
What do you eat at Pizza Express?
Oh, now it's Roma, the thin...
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's a bit bigger. They get smaller and smaller.
No, I'm just trying to feel less guilty. Roma pepperoni, really. But I used to have pepperoni hot. Wasn't that what it was called?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is pepperoni.
No, American hot.
American hot.
So I'm presuming you don't cook, really.
No, I wish I did more. And I'm thinking of retiring from my old job. And my first thing on my to-do list is to learn how to cook risotto. Because I love risotto.
You could learn.
Rice.
You could learn now.
Yeah. Can you? This is all I've got. Oil, onion, add the rice and then water.
Got a bit to go, but right. Yeah.
That's what I'm, that's all I've got at the moment. What can you just add a couple of details to that?
Well, fry onion.
Not water.
Don't you have onion in?
So
yours?
Onion, celery, cook it.
Yeah.
A soft, no colour. Add the rice.
Yeah. So you cook that in oil.
Oil or butter?
Yeah.
Fat, basically. Right. Add the rice. When the rice is too hot to pick up.
Yeah.
You add wine.
Wine.
Yeah.
Essential. Right.
Lots
essential.
Of wine.
And then you cook all the wine off. And then you ladle in your stock.
Right.
But the rule is you can only use a wooden spoon and only work it clockwise.
Do you know what? I think, to be honest, I think that sounds like what's that thing called? Nonsense.
So you're going to learn to
cook? I'm really going to learn to cook. I'd really love to do it. And I do feel ashamed of the fact that I've let Em do all the cooking. I think that's terrible.
Do you ever... Wouldn't you be able to follow a recipe or would you be too naughty?
Well, when I lived for 7 years on my own, I had to cook. But it was not a nice... It was not a great experience. I'm good at rice and frankfurters, as I've said before. Yeah. And I've got the complete master of a frozen pea. I never make a mistake there. But I know there's better things to do with pea. I love peas, by the way. Do you do a pea soup?
I do a pea risotto.
Pea risotto is great.
Do you know, my dream, before I die, I want to make a pea velouté. I don't know what it is, but it's...
Pea soup.
Is it? Yeah. A pea soup with some foam. God, that'd be brilliant.
Are we allowed to ask the Desert Island Meal now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, we've Desert Island
actually,
Meal.
Actually, no, first I want to know where you went on your first date, meal-wise. Can you remember?
Ours.
Ooh. Well, in some ways, I remember the falling in love happened after seeing The Abyss.
Oh, yeah.
I remember we went to see The Abyss, not James Cameron's masterpiece, I think we'll all agree. And we went somewhere in Covent Garden, which I suspect was just tea and a croissant. And I thought, I can't be happier than this. I think that's what...
The Abyss and tea and a croissant.
And I was reeling from the fact that he'd taken me to the cinema, which I assume meant you wanted to have a snog on the back row, and he didn't
touch
me.
You.
Nothing. Watch the movie.
You wanted him to.
Well, I
was very ahead of my time in terms of...
I thought you went to the cinema with boys in order to have a snog.
No, I was very keen in James Cameron, the progress of his career through Terminator and Alien to The Abyss. Yeah. I had no idea you had that in mind.
So it was
otherwise, I would have gone to see a less interesting film.
And tea and
but
croissant.
I just remember there was a moment of thinking, oh, this is I'm absolutely happy.
I want to ask a few things. Do you think you've got good table manners?
I hope that's a really interesting question. It would have mattered a huge amount to my mum and dad that right. They were of that generation, particularly my mum. My mum, you always said that instead of saying I'm full, you should say I have had adequate sufficiency.
Adequate sufficiency. Oh, I love her.
And I would hope I've got fairly good table manners, but my M says I slurp my soup.
Oh, interesting.
I can't hear it, but...
My husband can't stand hearing me eat an apple. He's like, it drives me crazy. But I kind of understand that. It's like, okay, so what's your worst table manner that you think other people, like... You can't stand another person.
And this is also something I got from my family. I hate people when they clear a table, piling.
America.
Scraping the food onto another plate. Oh. So they turn the food into rubbish in front of your very
Right, okay.
You know, so suddenly something that was being eaten a second ago is scraped onto one plate and then they get another plate and they scrape... Because it seems to me that turns the food into rubbish.
I think you should
clear plate all six plates, as it were, and then compile them.
Did you know that it's polite to eat hot food as soon as it's put in front of you rather than wait for everyone to be served?
Do you know how polite we are?
We all sit there. Apparently it's wrong.
You should eat it straight away because
it's hot.
Tell me about this amazing pudding.
It's just lemon curd roulade, really.
With rose petals. This is a new
version. So it's not pavlova?
Well, it's kind... I think it's kind of like pavlova.
It's like a rolled pavlova, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it looks amazing.
It is really she's bloody good at this.
Did you feel you were very well fed as you were young? Was every meal a mystery?
I mean, I was very well fed because I had three servings of each thing. So yeah, I was very well fed. Mum, yeah, I made her nipples bleed as soon as I came out. Like,
thank you, darling.
Sorry. I wanted to know, Brexit. We ask everybody on this series if they were to stockpile one thing. I think I know the answer.
Stockpile one thing? You mean you never can go back to Europe and you've got to keep one thing?
Yeah, we're hoping food. You will be happy.
Two things. One, truffle.
Okay.
Can you only get it abroad? You can get it in Scotland.
I don't know what it's like, though.
Can we get it in Scotland? Yeah.
You can get it in Wiltshire. Welcher did a good line on truffle, black truffle.
You're sorted then. Oh, okay. Don't worry about that. Right. Okay.
Not like the white Alba truffle. No, okay. It's different colour.
Then I think probably a record by a guy called Jimmy Fontana called Il Mondo.
I've heard of Jimmy Fontana.
He was an old pop star in about 1965, and I went on holiday with my dad to Alba, and it was on the... And I squeezed it into my film About Time. It's a very strange Italian song that plays when Rachel McAdams gets married. So I can't imagine life without that.
Okay.
Gin al mondo, spazio senza fine, con l'amore appellate, con l'amore già finiti. I've been singing those words all my life.
I love
no idea what they mean. No idea.
We still didn't get your desert island.
Oh, desert island. Okay, so, well, I'm starting with pea velouté.
Or last, okay.
Pea velouté.
That you've never had. Right, okay.
Then
you've
a made. Choice of pastas, I think. Either the one we've just had.
Yeah,
the
definitely.
The pappardelle with beef, or a whatever is the best with truffle.
Tagliarini
with truffle.
Okay.
And then mainly lamb chops.
Your mother made.
A la Glynis Wag. So burnt lamb chops with... Can't really have rice, can you?
You can. You can.
With Swedish new potatoes and more dill. Peas. Okay. And dill.
And lamb chops.
And then pudding. I'm going to have Em's pavlova.
Oh, thank you so much for
I'm
doing
I'm coming
this.
Every night.
Oh my God, please do.
No, really please no, nice. That's, you mustn't, that's not.
No, they really like me and they want me to come
they really,
back.
And hold the baby.
I'm quite yeah, up I'm for good hiring with the child. Years, yeah.
Oh, that's true.
A night nurse.
Thank you for looking after my child. Thank you so much for putting your tenner in, or 20, whatever.
I'm disappointed.
Can I bring in the mill? Can I say a last mill? Thing about comic
yeah, please.
Relief?
Yes.
Which is only that, there are a million ways that you can change people's lives. And what is so brilliant about 99% of English people is just that when you open the door to doing something that helps other people, they stride through it. So I just want to thank our lovely guests who just thought, well, I'll give away some money on the 0% chance of winning because I know it'll make a difference. And I want to thank you guys enormously.
It's been such fun.
Thank you for introducing us.
Thank you so much to everybody. It's been just so lovely. I don't really know what just happened, but I think everyone had a really good time.
I hope so. He was very funny, very comic. I thought he was just so engaging and fun and interesting and so committed to Comic Relief and what he's doing.
Oh, it was such a pleasure to have them. And I can't believe that the draw
raised so much money.
It's amazing. So we're just so happy that we were a part of that. And what wonderful guests.
Fabulous.
Jill and Connor.
Yeah, brought their own food.
Such fun.
Yeah.
It's good to know that we've got fun listeners.
Yeah, it's fab.
No, that was so interesting and lovely and actually felt quite relaxing because we had somebody cooking for us.
I'm drugged, so I wasn't het up.
Did you not drink?
No.
Oh, well done, Mum. I didn't drink either.
No.
But I did have beef shin. I don't know how that works with me.
Oh, that was so delicious.
Yeah, it was really good. I love that when... Connor said, have you got any parmesan? My manager, Peter, didn't have parmesan. He had wonderful grated mature cheese.
Reduced flat.
Oh, reduced flat. We have been booked for Edinburgh Festival.
Fantastic.
Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Does that mean that we are fringe?
No, darling, it's not fringe. the fringe artists appear there, but they don't call it Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Yes,
they
do, Mum. Oh, yeah, Miss Know-It-All, Miss Friggin' Blowtorch Creme Brulee over here. Actually, Edinburgh Fringe Festival 2019, okay. We have been booked for.
Okay.
We have some surprise guests yet to be announced. We have sold some tickets. And we would love to see there if anybody is deciding to come down. I don't know what our Scottish contingent...
Well, we're quite early in the day, aren't we?
We're on at 12, so I think it'll be a brunch affair. And yeah. I am interested how we're going to do that for the audience, what we could make. We could do bacon butties.
Yeah.
And we would love to see you there. We are performing on... performing, Mum. The 2nd and 3rd of August. So please let us know on Instagram if you are attending. We'd love to hear from you. At Table Manners Podcast. And the ticket link is in the bio of our Instagram profile. So if you'd like to buy some tickets, you can do it there. Mum, do you remember when we were talking about life hacks?
Yes.
Well, bless, we actually have had some emails to our Table Manners email. So okay. Who has sent this in? Helen Fleming. Helen Fleming writes, I'm celiac and vegan. Oh, Jesus, she
poor
must hate
woman.
Us.
Yeah.
Okay. Poor woman. And would probably be your nightmare to cook for. Yes. But want you to know that I love food. I cook every day and vegan cooking is never boring. It's definitely harder being celiac than it is being vegan. Yeah, I bet. I think if I made you my chili, you'd never know it didn't have meat in it. My top tip or life hack, Mum, is to blitz roasted walnuts and the mushrooms in a food processor, which gives the texture of mince. Thank you, vegan Helen.
Can't you use corn?
She's giving you a life hack.
Oh, that's a life hack.
Jesus Christ. Okay,
so
never mind, forget it.
Why do they call it life hacks? Why don't they call it tips?
All right, fucking change it, Mum. Change it.
Okay.
Right. A life hack for Lenny is the subject. Yeah. People really want you to understand this and enjoy it and embrace it. David Patterson.
Is he another vegan?
David Patterson, okay. Tie a little knot in either the left or right cord of your headphones or earbuds, and you will never need to check to see which bud goes in which ear. Changed my life on transatlantic flights. Also ruins the quality of sound, probably, David.
So why do you knot them? If you knot both of them, then how would you know? Oh, just one.
He's saying either. Well, I'm glad that that's worked for you. I'm sure you're hearing really shit sound, David.
Why
so
is he sending that to me, though?
No, he's explaining what a life hack is, Mum.
Okay.
Fucking hell.
All right.
We're getting interactive. We're going global. Come on, get with the programme. Becky Medhurst. Hi, Jesse and Lenny. OXO cubes are packaged so you can pour the stock granules into the pan without touching them. You what? OXO cubes are packaged, so you can pour the stock granules into the pan without touching them. I've never actually been offended by crumbling a bloody OXO cube, though.
I know, but maybe you shouldn't be touching them. I don't know.
Okay, we've got a video of the OXO cube. Bless her. Squash your OXO cube whilst it's in the foil. Go on, Becky. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Becky. She is squashing it with her hand. We're now watching the second video that says, then tear the corner of the flattened OXO cube and it becomes a sachet. Oh, no, that is quite clever. But to be fair, Becky, I think that's taken longer than if I just crumbled it with my fingers. That is quite clever. I like that one, Becky. You know what? That's a good life hack. I'm going to try that. So, I'm an Irish guy living in NYC. Listen since day one. I've seen you twice, Jesse, and your podcast makes me feel like home, even though I'm Irish. Thanks, babe. This familial sound is comforting. NYC restaurants, dirty French. Oh, yeah, that's in the hotel. Ludlow, I love the look of that. And a vegan restaurant, trust me, called Ya Ya Ya. Been there, Kevin, and it's bloody good. Thanks so much for communicating with us. Our email that we'd love you to email into is hello@tablemannerspodcast.com. Table Manners music you have been enjoying is by Pete Fraser and Peter Duffy. And our dear editor and producer is Alice Williams.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.